that our God has never lost a battle. Amen? How many of you know that this morning? He's never lost a battle. And the battle that we're going to talk about this morning is the battle of lethargy, the battle of becoming apathetic. How many of you know that it's hot outside? Does anybody know that? Yeah. We're going to talk about the title of my message is Summer Fire. The heat is on. And my text this morning is just one verse. And as I read and as I prayed, this verse just jumped off the page. It comes out of one of my favorite books in the New Testament and one of my favorite chapters in Romans chapter 12. And before you make a joke or you look at your neighbor and say, did somebody not tell Shivers that we just finished Romans? I know that. But this verse, I just thought for us, I knew God had something important for us to learn and to hear from His word this morning as we launch into the summer. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. We're going to throw it on the screens in several different versions. I'll start with the ESV. Listen to what Paul says. He says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Whenever you read that word slothful, I think it conjures up a whole bunch of different images, right? A sloth, apathetic, drifting toward relationships that are ungodly, making excuses. If you're slothful in your zeal, maybe you're easily offended or you stop giving, you stop serving, being slothful. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the NIV. The NIV says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Don't be lacking. Don't let there be any deficit. Don't let there be an inadequate or a short supply. Don't be lacking. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the Message. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Two words that jump out there in the Message translation, fueled and aflame. It's summertime in Texas. I feel like I almost combustibly turn into a flame of fire every time I step outside. We know what that feels like. But the one I love the best and the most that I think is applicable for us this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the J.B. Phillips version. For me, it's just a great visual. Read it along with me on the screen. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. And let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. Keep the fires of the Spirit burning. As we talk about summer fire, we all would agree that we want to burn bright for Jesus. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're heading into the summer. Everybody has plans. You've got a vacation planned. Hopefully you're going somewhere with your loved ones. Maybe a Colorado if you're adventurous, maybe going camping, hitting the mountains. Some of you may think about skydiving or jumping out of a plane. Me, when I'm on a plane, I like to stay in the plane, all right? I'm not thinking about jumping out, but it's summertime. As Louis Armstrong said, and the living is easy. The fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Whether it's going to the lake for a weekend and getting the boat out and the jet skis or then those things just make me sore, Pastor. They make my legs and my low back hurt just thinking about going to the lake and getting behind a boat. Hopefully you're hanging out at the pool, but it's summertime. And my question and challenge for us this morning, church, is how do we keep the fire of the Spirit burning all summer long? How do we ignite a summer fire in our hearts spiritually? Really, it's just three key words of exhortation. We're going to serve, three key words. We're going to serve the Lord, we're going to share the Lord, and then we're going to sacrifice for the Lord. Serving, sharing, and sacrificing. That's my challenge, that's my encouragement for you this morning out of Romans 12, verse 11. Let's take the first one, to serve. What does it mean to serve? To be of use, to help, to contribute, to render assistance, giving of yourself to others. Matthew 20, 26 and 28, Jesus encouraged us to serve. He actually equated greatness in his kingdom with being a servant. Look at God's word. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Every one of us, if we want to be great, all of us should aspire to be sons and daughters of the Most High King, who are great. Jesus said it clearly. He equated greatness in his kingdom with being a servant. And it's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. I get it. Being unselfish, it's a lifelong battle that we fight in our flesh. To choose to do not what we want to do every time, not to take our agenda and our desires and make them number one in the priority, but to lay it down and to die to ourselves and to get to the back of the line. That's what Jesus equated greatness to. So the first thing that I want you to do, if you're going to keep this summer fire spiritually burning in your heart for the Lord, is we got to serve. There's lots of ways to do that here at Prestonwood. Our pastor mentioned a couple of moments ago, we saw a great video on Camp Renegade. But I want to give you, we've got all of our students up here excited. They got their lanyards on and their beach t-shirts. They're going down to the beach. It's going to be incredible. But here's what I want you to do. Take your phone out right now. Take your phone out. And I know that's a little bit risky, Pastor, to ask people to take their phone out during the message. But listen, I'm going to call you to action. I want you to show you how simple this is. If you take your phone out and go to your messages and just text the word serve to 75788. Text the word serve to 74788. It's right there on the screens. And you'll receive a link back. And when you receive that link, you click on it. And there'll be a opportunity. You click on that link just to add some brief personal data, just some brief info about yourself. And then you choose which campus, either our Plano or our North Campus, and you'll be given a list of many opportunities where you can serve and where you can jump in. And you can keep that fire burning for the Lord. You've got to serve. I brought a few of them along, just a list of ways that you can serve. We mentioned a moment ago, June 20th to the 23rd, we still need lots of volunteers for our Adventure Week, our old school vacation Bible school. Monday through Thursday, 9 to noon, we can use you. Come up here, jump in, and serve. Give back. We've got greeters, ushers, parking lot. You can see it all on your own section. Ministry of volunteers and kids and youth and students. Media team, missions. We've got teams going to Greece and this summer in August. We've got another team going to Mexico this fall. Come jump in and join us to serve. The parking guys. We've got these guys that run around these parking lots in this blistering heat. If you're a Green Beret, if you're a really brave man or woman, get out there and throw on a yellow neon shirt and serve in our parking lot, just somewhere that you can give back. Keeping your spiritual fire burning includes serving, and we've got to give. We've all heard, I've been here nearly 20 years, and I've heard it said, if I've heard it said once, I've heard it said a dozen times, that this place is so big. Can I really make a difference? Is there anything I could do that would really matter? And my response to that is that nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. Find a place where you can engage, where you can serve. And you're not just coming in and out of here week in and week out consuming, but that you're giving back. Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve. Give of yourself. Get engaged. Get plugged in. Where and how are you currently serving? That's my question for you this morning. Where and how are you currently serving? Where are you giving back? If you weren't here, would anybody miss you? Would anybody notice that you were gone? We have section host leaders right where you are, around this sanctuary. Step up, raise your hand, respond. We would love to put you to work helping us engage the kingdom and serve the least of these. Number one, you got to serve. Everybody say serve. The second thing you got to do is share. Everybody say share. So we're going to keep a fire burning in our hearts this summer, not only by serving the Lord, but by sharing the Lord everywhere you go, sharing Jesus, carrying the gospel everywhere and anywhere that he takes us. Look at Mark 16:15. In the ESV, Jesus challenges us in the Gospel of Mark to go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And in the Message, Mark 16:15, we'll have it on the screens. He says, go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Proclaim the gospel. Go everywhere and announce the message. The world will learn. Jesus gave us a new command in John 13. He says, the world will know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. Show people that you love them. That's how we share this good news of the gospel that's changed our lives. Our family was out recently, even in the summer heat. Everybody has time for Tex-Mex. Am I right, Mike? Everybody can eat Tex-Mex, even in the heat. So my family was out eating at a local Tex-Mex establishment. We're just having a good time, talking about the summer, what was going on in the summer. And here's what happens when we're out eating. My family, I'm intentionally trying to engage our server. And it's not hard. Every one of you in here can do this. Ask them their name. Hey, what's your name? Beyonce. Are you having a good day today? You guys think I'm making this up. And I might be. But you have no idea what this person's name was. I will always protect the innocent, Pastor Graham. Beyonce, what are you doing in your life? Where are you? You're young. You're a student. Tell me where you're going to school. What are you studying? Just a couple of simple questions to engage her. And then when our food comes, we're doing all that to set the table, Brad, so we can pray for her. Beyonce, what's going on in your life? I know you're going through this, this, and this. How can we pray for you? Tell me what's on your heart. And you just think about the course of that young lady's night or evening. How many people are intentionally wanting to pray for her or asking her a question, taking the time to learn her name? And then so that evening wraps up. We leave her a track and a tip, and we leave. And it just so happened that one of my daughters knows a young lady that works at this establishment. And she called my daughter that night and said, hey, that server that y'all had, she came and asked where you went to church and what your dad did. You know, I don't lead out with, hey, I'm a pastor, and I'm not trying to overwhelm them with a bunch of Jesus bombs. Just intentionally, kindly, as the Spirit leads, loving and serving people, any and everywhere you go. This is what keeps your heart on fire for Jesus. This is what will set a fire to make you boil and to blaze for Jesus. He'll set a fire. And so we got to tell her. So my daughter's young friend got to tell her that they go to Prestonwood. And I hope she's here today and said that he'll be sharing this Sunday morning. Your family can do this any and everywhere you go throughout the summer. I love what our pastor said 33 years ago in 1989 when he came here. I saw this last week in our Prestonwood Today, and I'll throw it up on the screens for you. But he encouraged us 2 months into his tenure here at Prestonwood, over 33 years ago, with this challenge to be a soul-winning church. This was his vision for what Prestonwood would be and what we're about. And I promise you, to a man, he would say, this is why we are who we are today, because we're a soul-winning church. He said, a church exists for evangelism as fire exists for burning. When I read that, I said, I got to get that in my message somehow, some way. Our church exists for evangelism as fire for burning. May our hearts beat in unison with the heart of God to bring people to salvation. We must not fail to fulfill the marching orders. Everybody say marching orders. Of our Lord to go with the gospel, whether it is across the street or across the earth. My prayer is that we will share now. The marching orders for the church are the Great Commission of Jesus. They're in every one of the Gospels, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and in Acts 1:8. And those orders remain the same. They remain the same. We go with the gospel, sharing Jesus. And it's not going to look the same for all of us. I'm not talking about a method or a specific mantra of sharing the gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving and in serving and engaging people wherever we go. It's Acts 1:8, being witnesses for Jesus in the workplace, in our neighborhood, in our spheres of influence, at our workout, at our gym. I invited a buddy, Mark, to come this week, just to come to church at our gym where I work out. My question for you, church family, is when was the last time you shared your testimony? When was the last time you shared your story? Not a program, not a method, not a XYZ step, but just when was the last time you shared your story of how God's grace impacted and changed and wrecked your life, and you understood that there was a God in heaven who loves you, and that you're steeped and dead in your sin, and that Jesus stepped into your darkness, and he brought about a light that was irresistible. And you reached out and you took hold of Jesus. And that's who you are. And it's why I do what I do. And it's the foundation for everything in my life. When was the last time you just shared a simple story of how God's grace changed and impacted your life? I'll tell you, honestly, with every fiber of my being, sharing Jesus is gasoline for my fire. It is gasoline for my fire. It helps me burn bright. And I want us in this summer fire, church family, not only to serve and to get engaged, but to share Jesus everywhere we go. It's what we were created to do. We are God's plan A. There is no plan B. We are God's plan A. We've got to go. We got to share. We got to take Jesus any and everywhere we go this summer. So number one, we're going to serve. Number two, we're going to share. And number three, we're going to sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Serving, sharing, and sacrificing keeps our hearts aflame for Jesus. We've got to hold loosely to the stuff of this world and give generously. And I don't know about your individual story, but for me, this didn't come easy. I didn't have a great model of giving in the Shivers household. My example was just my dad, every now and then when the plate was passed, just taking out his little money clip and peeling a 20 off and dropping it in there. And then there was never really any discussion or explanation. I didn't get a lesson or any scriptural backing or foundation. A great verse that's meant a lot to me over the course of my life, I brought it along. It's in Luke 6:38, where Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Men and women, we can't outgive God. We just can't do it. Giving generously. So I didn't have a great a background or family of origin that taught me this, but I showed up in my first internship in Corpus Christi, Texas at Yorktown Baptist Church, and my youth pastor was Paul White. I was a youth intern for the summer, still had a year of school left at SMU, Brother Cowart, and I always made my money in the summer that I lived off of. I didn't have an allowance. I didn't have any sugar daddy or somebody sending me money. And this was after SMU had gone through all the death penalty in the NCAA. We had gotten hammered, so I couldn't even steal my own practice shorts, all right? I had to find a way to make ends meet throughout the school year. And I'm serving at this church, and I'm making $2,000 for the whole summer. And my youth pastor sits me down on the first day on the job. And he looks me in the eye and he says, here's what you're going to make. Here's what your check's going to be at the end of every month, June, July, and August. And I'm going to expect you to tithe on it. He shows me Luke 6:38. Shows me Malachi chapter 3. He shows me 2 Corinthians 9:7 that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And as he's giving me these verses, Scotty T, I'm literally shaking. I can start to feel the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I'm just thinking, this guy has no clue how bad I need every cent of this $2,000 that you're giving me for the summer. But I received it, and I gave every answer that was right and that would have been the godly Christian thing that I needed to do in that moment as an example for our students. And I remember getting that first check, sitting in the service just like you're sitting there, and knowing that I had to write this check. And I wrote this check out, and my hand almost started to become paralyzed. I'm just like, I'm sweating. I break into just this heat. And I wrote the check, and I wish I could say it was $66 and something cents. And I wrote all three of them, and I wish I could say it got easier throughout the summer. But at the end, I wrote all three of those faithfully. And at the end of the summer, they had a little going away party for me as saying goodbye with all the students and families. And I'm standing there in that fellowship hall at Yorktown Baptist Church. And Susan Duke, who was Dr. Duke's wife, as a family, I lived with a couple of different families there in the church, just walks up to me, hands me an envelope, stuffs it in my Bible, and says, "Thank you so much for investing in our church. Thank you for sacrificing a summer and coming here to love and serve these students." And I stuck that in my Bible, and it was like a Moses in the burning bush kind of holy moment. It was this Bible right here, and I couldn't even touch it from Corpus Christi all the way home to Dallas, because I had never given anything to the Lord. And that was a test that summer. I gave and I sacrificed, and the whole way home, I just flew home from Corpus to Dallas in my 1991 Ford Explorer, just flying down the highway with worship music, just tears flowing down, because I knew that God had something. I hadn't even looked at it yet. I knew that God had said, "Look, that little $200 that you gave me, that your tithes were, I got it all. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the psalmist said. You're my boy, Shivers. Stop worrying about dimes and nickels. I got it all." And I opened up that envelope, and it was two times, it was twice as much as I had given when I got home. And I'm just telling you, God loves a cheerful giver, and he is faithful. He will outgive everything that you give, anything that you invest. He will give it back 100-fold. Every time. Every time. So my challenge is, do you want to do life 100% on your own, clinging and holding on to every cent that you've ever been given? Is that how you want to do your life, church? Or do you want to hold loosely and give generously of your time, your talent, your treasure, and do the 90% as an obedient son and daughter with God clearly on your side, in your corner, who owns it all? I ask that question rhetorically. It doesn't need an answer. You want God on your side every time. Every day of the week, you want God on your side. Give generously, give sacrificially. We serve the Lord, we share the Lord, and then we sacrifice. And these three exhortations, these three challenges, church family, as we go throughout this summer, God is going to move. He's going to use you. He's going to use me to do incredibly more than we could ever ask, dream, or imagine. It's a catalyst. It's the Greek word in that Romans 12:11 where he says fervent in spirit. It's the Greek word for to set ablaze or to ignite a fire. And I know it feels incredibly hot outside, but as we head into the summer, my hope and my prayer is that God would set a fire in our spirits. Never be lacking in zeal, but being fervent, being on fire for Jesus, we would serve him throughout the summer, everywhere we go, with every opportunity in front of us. I'll wrap this up with another story, just a quick story. My kids are out of school like many of yours, and they're at home now. Our younger, and we've got our oldest, Jackson, back from Baylor. He's at home. We've got all four. My wife and I love it. But a lot of days, you know, kids can get locked on to screens and tablets. Any parents out there, can I get a witness? They can get locked on screens and tablets. And so it's this constant struggle of tension to try to get your kids up and active, but also wanting them to be able to decompress and relax and have fun in the summer. So one day I got my daughter, my youngest daughter, and I said, "We're going to take a bike ride." She didn't just jump at the opportunity to get out and take a bike ride, okay? But with old dad. But I said, "We're going to go get a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. Nah? So the Slurpee, I think, was the hook. But it was hot. We were feeling the summer flames. Felt like the asphalt was burning up the rubber on our tires. But Audrey and I got there, we got our drinks, and we're standing in line, and I'm kind of distracted because not only does she now have a Slurpee, but she's starting to double down and ask for something off the candy aisle, all right? And I'm like, no, we said we're going to take a bike ride, we're going to 7-Eleven for the Slurpee, but she just like wouldn't back down, and I'm negotiating, and as any good dad would do, I went ahead and threw the Airheads in also. So she's got Slurpee, Airheads, everything's right and perfect in the world. And we're standing in line, and that's 7-Eleven. There's only one checkout, one checker working, only one counter. And suddenly I notice there's kind of a line forming around us. It's becoming kind of long. And out of the corner of my eye, I notice a lady as we move forward. Now we're the next up in line. We're finally moving forward. There's a line behind us. I notice a middle-aged lady with her coin purse out and change just spread all over the counter at 7-Eleven and multiple customers. You go to 7-Eleven because you think you can get in and out quickly, right? So we've got a situation emerging here. And I notice this lady with coins all over the counter, and I lean in and I start to catch just a little distress in her voice. She's frazzled and hurried and kind of all over the place, and she's kind of feeling the line probably forming also. And I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me just to kind of lean in there. And I look at the counter, and she's got all this change, and she's got two bottles of water and two bags of pork rinds. And I mean, there are very few people in the world that actually eat pork rinds. And I remember that because my dad, Big Mike Shivers, is a pork rinds guy. But I put my hand on this lady's shoulder as the Spirit nudged me in there. And I just said, ma'am, do you mind if, can my daughter and I just take care of your stuff there? And her head swung around and she just said, that would be great. And I said, it would be an honor for us. I throw the Slurpee and the Airheads and our drinks up there with her waters and pork rinds. And the guy begins to ring us up. And these tears start coming down her eyes. And she said, I was in a hurry. I ran out of the hospital without my credit card. My husband had a stroke this morning. And all he wanted was a bottle of water and some pork rinds. And when she said that, I looked at Audrey and I said, we got to pray for this lady. I said, do you mind if we pray for you? And she leaned in and hugged us. And so now all of a sudden we got a three-person hug at the front of the 7-Eleven line. All the stuff is here. I'm praying down heaven. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, you know this situation. You know what's going on in this lady's life. You know how her husband is feeling physically right now. I'm asking for healing, Lord Jesus, in his life. I'm asking you to take care of this lady, to calm her, to give her a peace that surpasses all understanding. And God, just to bless us and to turn this situation for your good. Just a quick, brief prayer with my daughter. And I turn around and I look behind me. And no one's upset. No one's frazzled. It was like the whole line, kind of in a reverent moment, just had their head down and looked up and smiled. It was an unplanned summer holy moment. It really summarizes my entire challenge this morning. This is what summer fire looks like. We got to serve. We saw a need. We served her. We shared. Got to pray and ask Jesus to bless her and to heal her family. And then we got to sacrifice. We had the honor of buying them a little snack in Jesus' name. Serving, sharing, and sacrificing. And I'll tell you, that night, when we were going to bed and I got to look my daughter in the eye and say, you know what was the high of my day? And she looked at me and she said, it was mine too, Dad. Just an unplanned holy moment where we got to buy a little snack for a stranger, serve them, share with them that Jesus has got you right where he wants you, and to sacrifice, to give. It's nothing. Church family, it's going to be a great summer. Have fun. Enjoy your time with your family. Go on vacation, but keep your eyes open. Stay alert. The Holy Spirit is on the move, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use me. We never know how God is going to use us in someone else's life. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, you are awesome and you are worthy of our praise. And we come now to this time of prayer and we give, just like we do every week here at Prestonwood, a very simple and clear invitation. Father God, I know there are people in a room this size that do not have this relationship with you, Jesus. They want that fire to be burning in their heart and in their spirit, but they have not come to a place where they've reached out their hand and they've received the free gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23, Paul made it clear that the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's a man or a woman here and you're knocking on the door of their heart, that you want to give them this free gift of eternal life, I pray that they would respond in faith and they would reach out their hand and take a hold of that gift of eternal life and trust you today. Lord Jesus, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. You're looking for something. You think there's something in this world that's going to satisfy you. You are not made for this world. We were made by God for God, and that something is someone. His name is Jesus. He'll step out of heaven and right into your heart if you'll just believe and trust him today. We'll have people, pastors of our church, at the end of these aisles. You come forward and we'll help you work through that decision and receive that gift today. There are others of you that are believers already, that have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We just baptized a dozen of them out there in the fountain out front between services. We want to baptize you. If you haven't believed and received in the Lord Jesus and been baptized post-conversion, by immersion, having trusted Christ and going under that water, we want to baptize you. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. Come forward. Let one of us know. We'll get you signed up for your baptism next week. And there are others of you that have been here at Prestonwood. You've been visiting. You've been checking us out for weeks. Some of you for months. Some of you maybe even years. And you need to come forward and join this church family today. We would love to have you come forward. We'll welcome you as we welcome guests. And in the midst of this challenge to stay on fire, to fervently burn for Jesus, I know that there are men and women, there are some of my brothers and sisters in Christ sitting out there, that you need to get down to this altar and ask God, beg God to set your heart on fire for him, that you need to get that fuel of the Holy Spirit to burn, that gasoline for your heart. Some of you need to come forward and get to this altar, get on your knees, beg God for forgiveness. And ask him to light a fire in your heart. Your Heavenly Father's right there. He's waiting. His arms are open wide. Make him the priority that he longs to be in your life. Number one in a class of one. Preeminent over everything in your life. Make him the Lord of your life today. We love you, Father God. We give this time of invitation to you. Give my brothers and sisters boldness and courage to respond to whatever you're prompting them to do. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.